Introduction. When I put together my first short story collection, Infinite Dreams, the publisher asked that I introduce each story with a note about how it came to be written. I complied, and as here, had them put the notes in a different typeface, so those who wanted to get straight to the stories could easily slip by the blather. That book produced more letters from readers than most of my novels have, and to my surprise, as much of the mail was about the blather as about the stories. I suspect that's because so many science fiction readers write the stuff themselves, or would like to, and so have a special taste for confessional book chat. One reader came up with an interesting observation, noting that I obviously had to pull my punches in the introductions sometimes, because telling all would have given away the ending of the story. He suggested that in the next collection I write afterwards instead, so I wouldn't have to work under that constraint. The only problem with that is that there are villainous people like myself who always flip through a collection and read the introductions first, and we would probably do that even if they were afterwards instead. But the notion started me thinking, and I came up with a compromise that resulted in the way this book is put together. This collection is arranged as a continuum, each story having an afterword that blends into the introduction of the next story. Yes, it's a cheap trick, an attempt to keep sucking you into the next story until you've read them all, but sometimes the relationships between the stories are interesting, and besides, you paid for all of them. Might as well give them a try. The novella that follows came to be written because of an odd coincidence. I accepted a one-year visiting professorship at MIT to teach science fiction writing and one other course each semester. For the second semester, I was handed Reading and Writing Longer Fiction, which was a lecture and workshop course on the theory and practice of writing novels and novellas. Novels, fine. I'd written a dozen and had even studied some of the theory. But of the theory of the novella, I had read only one mercifully short essay by Henry James, and I hadn't actually written one of The Little Devils in at least 10 years. When literary folks talk about a novella, they usually mean anything that's too long to be considered a short story, but isn't long or complex enough to be a novel. Commercial writing makes the further distinction between the novelette, a long story that's less than 17,500 words long, and the novella, which can run up to 30,000 or 40,000. People who write for a living don't write many novellas. They demand at least as much work as the equivalent wordage of a novel, usually rather more, and pay perhaps an order of magnitude less. Magazine editors have little enthusiasm for them because they take up a third of the magazine, but only add one title to the table of contents. So even if you can place one, it goes for a low rate of pay. I was in a bit of a quandary. Teaching instinct, and to a certain extent conscience, told me that if I was going to make my students write novellas, I should sit down and write one myself. But my baser practical instincts were telling me that I'd be an idiot to invest a couple of months' work in a piece that would only bring a few $100. This was where coincidence struck. The day after I learned I was going to teach the course, I was sitting in my office scratching my head over the dilemma, and the phone rang. It was Betsy Mitchell of Bain Books, asking whether I would like to write a novella for the book Alien Stars, a collection of 3 novellas on the theme Conflict with Aliens. I recovered from synchronistic shock just long enough to ask for more money, the freelancer's primary conditioned reflex, and she said she'd check and call back. That phrase sometimes means you've blown the deal. I'm no more superstitious than the next writer, which is to say that if somebody stole my lucky coffee cup, I'd have to look for another line of work. Face it, the last time an editor had called asking for a novella was 1972. This was a portent. The muse had sent me a sign, and I had rejected her. But she called back, Betsy Mitchell, not the muse, agreeing to my terms. So I immediately got down to work, and discovered I had a real problem. Some of the most perfect stories in our language are novellas, Heart of Darkness, The Ballad of the Sad Cafe, The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber. In science fiction, we have such gems as The Marching Morons, Universe, Flowers for Algernon. But if they stand out as gems, it's at least partly because their companions are such mundane gravel. Most novellas are either bloated short stories or amputated novels. I had to stay away from those two traps. To further complicate things, it seemed to me that most good novellas have a prickly kind of singularity about them. That is to say, it's impossible to make useful generalizations about what makes them stand out. It is possible to make useful generalizations about the novel and the short story. I had set myself up for a real job. I'll spare you a description of all the theoretical considerations that went into the piece. Suffice it to say that I've written novels, adventure novels anyhow, that took less time and effort than seasons. Novellas are hard. The perverse thing is that I'm itching to write another.